And I know that you've been praying for me because I've seen it as God has worked. And I want to thank all of you. I thank the church for inviting me to come again, and the pastor also. I thank, sir.
You thank me. I've been praying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure do all the time. I feel it necessary that I speak to the your pastor, and he is the host pastor, and I feel it necessary to inform him that I have been threatened with bodily harm as soon as I get through preaching. And maybe he can take some action to, you know, protect me. And I wasn't too concerned until I heard this individual speaking with Brother Collier, and then I began to think, you know, that I might just stay and preach for a while until they get tired and go home. That might be the best way out of it. Sir?
Eat the sugar lard.
Yes, sir. Right. When he says something, I say, yes, sir, or no, sir. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. And my mouth is so dry I can spit cotton. I guess it's medicine that we take. I'm probably going to have some, brother. I had some and then drank it all before I got up here.
There's some down in the pulpit.
Oh, okay.
It's been there for about a year.
That's not. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 28. I just love it when I'm further down the line, you know, to preach, and everybody else has already used your scripture. You feel like just getting up and saying a few words and sitting down, you know. Gordon's got a habit of doing that. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, that is this Philippian jailer. I'm sure everyone knows the story. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Our assigned subject was, what does salvation cost? What does it cost? We only have 3 points. First of all, what it's going to cost that lost sinner. Brother Wilson said, well, you can just get up and say it didn't cost anything and sit down and he'd take the rest of the time. But what does salvation cost? What does it cost the lost sinner? What did it cost God the Father? And what did it cost our Lord Jesus Christ? I'd like to just touch briefly on those points. Notice again what this jailer asked Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do? As if he could do something. Yeah. I'm sure most of you are like I was when the Lord saved me. I'm the one that had something to do with it. If I had never walked down that aisle, or if I hadn't done this, or I hadn't done that, you know, we want to do something. That's the nature of man. And I tell you, Paul missed a golden opportunity to pick up some pocket change. That's the way man thinks. But thank God he's different from a lot of men. You can't buy salvation. It's not for sale. The question to Paul and Silas was, what must I do? Such is the character of all men. I think maybe then we can begin to understand why we say that men are depraved. They think that they have to do something. I'm reminded, and I don't know this lady's name, just mentioned to me when we were in Appalachia, Virginia, and one of the members came and he said that they had visited with this lady and asked her where she was going when she died. And she said, I'm going to heaven. And they asked her, are you saved? She said, I'm going to heaven. She said, how do you know? She said, because I take my money up to that church regularly every month. That sounds silly, but that's the way folks are. They think that maybe money or some kind of influence, or if they just do some right, at least enough to outweigh that you're not too much bad, you know. But if it outweighs the bad, then they're going to be worthy of salvation. Listen, there's none, not even one here, that's worthy. We're none of us worthy of the great price that was paid. That is an insult to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ for man to think that he can pay something and have salvation. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It belongs to God. What does man have that God would want in the first place? Anything good? Nothing. What it costs, the lost sinner, he doesn't have anything that's worth anything in the sight of God. Doesn't anyone understand that it all belongs to God? You're going to take something that already belongs to God and give it to Him for salvation? Well, that's what men do, or think they do. Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. That's Gordon again. Thou hast created all things. All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, it all belongs to Him. What do you have that you can give? Anything of your own? What? Name just one thing that you have that doesn't already belong to the Lord. It isn't anything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. It's all His. What does salvation cost? There are some who think that they can. And I'm afraid that that's probably in the majority, that think that they can either pay or that they can do something live right or do something in order to merit salvation, to pay the cost. Listen, man's bankrupt. He doesn't have anything. The brother just said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. He was talking about us. At our best. Men think that you can go and you can meet the blood in the waters of baptism, and that's going to satisfy God for the cost? That'll meet the cost of salvation? All that does is wash away the filth of the flesh. That's all. You don't meet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in some pool. Brother, you better have that blood covering your sins before you ever go to the pool. Amen. The precious blood of Christ. There's others think that they can perform some ritual, some ceremony. Oh, they can, you can pick what you want today. Man's got everything but the truth. Salvation cost. But we didn't have anything to pay with. We were like the debtors. Didn't have anything to pay with. And it says he forgave them both. You see what the answer is? As to what the cost of the sinner is? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's what? That's right. It's a gift. You can't buy it. You can receive it, but you can't buy it. Great. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's his gift that he extends to lost sinners. First Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. You've already been purchased with a price. The greatest price ever paid. Amen. For anything. I was guilty in Brother John's television. He hurt. But Faye and I like to watch these antique shows, you know. And you'd be surprised at the money that people pay for something that somebody else would throw out in the trash. But they pay a great price for it. It's a great treasure. Brother, what they don't understand is, lost man, is the price has already been paid, and it was paid by the precious blood of the Son of God. Amen. At Calvary. Listen, we come to point number two, what it costs God the Father. Listen as the Father's voice speaks from heaven at his Son's baptism at the River Jordan by a Baptist preacher. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he willingly, He willingly gave his own son that we might have this so great a salvation.
Amen.
The son that is his beloved. The son in whom he is well pleased. Who left his home in glory with the Father. And brother, if you can understand that, you do more than I can. Why he would leave the glory that he had with his Father and come to this earth. Oh, I know he came to save his people, to seek and to save them. I understand that. But I just can't understand why he would leave all of that to come here for us. But he did. Because as the Father loved him, he loved us. He loved us. And he gave up all that for a time to come to this earth and die at the hands of man. God the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what God said.
Amen.
The nearest and dearest of heaven. That's his Son. The fairest among 10,000 thousands. The bright morning star. The Father's only begotten Son. Oh, what it cost the Father. His Son. Thirdly, what it cost the Son of God. Here now is Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was to be betrayed by Judas. As Jesus knelt and prayed to his Father, he said, "Oh, my Father." Listen to the words. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." That's his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Father. You know what the cup contained? It contained all the sorrow and the suffering that Jesus was to go through before he went through it. He knew what it was. But yet he willingly went anyway. I wonder if how many of us, if we knew that something was going to take place and it was something really dreadful, I wonder how many of us would back down and back away and not go through with it. If we really knew. Well, listen, folks, he did. He knew what that cup contained. That cup held all the punishment of all of God's elect. That's right. He suffered all the punishment that was rightly due you and I. Every sin we ever committed or will commit, he took that punishment upon himself. Somebody had to be punished for our sins. It's either us of Christ. Oh, praise God, it was Christ.
Amen.
We don't have to be punished. We will not be punished because of what he done. Because of that cup that he drank there at Calvary. Listen, folks. He didn't just taste it. He drank every drop of it for his people. Every bitter drop he drank there at Calvary. It cost him his blood. The precious blood of the Lamb of God that he shed for us. Oh, you ought to be so thankful for what Christ did for you and for I. The cost that he paid, that now when God looks at us, he sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own Son, his only begotten Son, his beloved, in whom he's well pleased. And he gave his life and his blood there at Calvary, in order that we might have life. Not one is worthy. Brother preaching, these other brothers, and I've really enjoyed it. I feel like some of those fellows that they sent to spy out the promised land. I'm among giants. Brother, this is great preaching. Great preachers has preached here. Really. But I think all of us as preachers ought to remember we're just heralds. We take the message that's given us and we go forth and proclaim it. It's good news for lost sinners. But it's also an alarm that ought to be for all sinners. And that's the way we ought to treat it. I think sometimes that we think a little more of ourselves than what we ought to. We're just the messengers. And we have a message that was given us. As was pointed out, that's what we're supposed to deliver. Nothing else. Don't add to it. Don't tell that lost sinner that he's got to do something in order to be saved. That he's got to pay something. Because when he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You notice it, how it's worded. And he sprang in and came trembling. There'd just been an earthquake. The doors flew open. Let me tell you something. There was an even greater quake in that jail than there was in the jail. That's what happens when the gospel, the pure gospel, is preached and the power of the Holy Spirit takes that gospel and brings conviction upon a soul, and boy, you tremble when you feel how close you are to eternal death. And then you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear the great cost that he paid. That's the gospel. In closing, let me say, as Jesus was hanging there on that cross, hanging. After he's been abused, he's been beaten, he's been spit upon. He's had that crown of thorns placed down upon his head. Some fellow just slapped him with the palm of his hand and said, "Won't you prophesy and tell us who done it?"
Yes.
He did all of that for you and me. They nailed those nails into his hands and his feet. And when he was hanging there on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, he took the wrath that was rightly due you and I. God turned his back upon his own beloved Son.
Amen.
Because sin had to be punished. The law had to be satisfied. God would accept nothing less than the punishment of sin. We could know in no possible way ever come into his presence except the law had been satisfied, sin has been punished in Christ, our substitute. I think about Jesus as he prayed in the garden. And he says, my Father, if it be possible. You know what he was saying? Father, if there's some other way, can we save them any other way except I be punished for their sin? But there was no other way. There was no other way. The only way that we could obtain salvation is that Jesus paid the cost there on Calvary when he shed his blood there for you and I. Oh, God, help us to not take our salvation for granted.
Amen.
Remember what took place. Remember the agony that he went through there on the cross. The torment that he suffered was for you and I and for all the elect of God. God bless you and thank you.
Amen.